Hi.
Welcome to Sustainable Binghamton Radio, WHRW 90.5 FM.
Binghamton.
Binghamton.
So this week we're actually switching things up a little bit, and we're going to do actually a show on social sustainability and revitalizing local. So our topic is music this week, and next week we will be returning to our energy theme of the month. And then after that, we will be moving into economics and relocalizing the market.
And then moving into our holiday season, we're going to be breaking down a hog slaughtering workshop week by week.
No, we won't.
We're going to be posting videos of that online. There'll be YouTube videos.
No, we won't. But we will be doing food.
Very closely.
We will be doing food.
Associated with vines.
Vines will be coming on in November along with some other food-related organizations and persons related to food organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I guess while I'm speaking of food, I should mention that if you're interested in food, farming, etc., this Friday, as part of Alumni Weekend, Generation... Generation O. There's a organic farm kind of learning, speaking, you know, talking about how young people can become farmers. I'll be posting an announcement about that on our Facebook page. So if you search...
Cool. All about, like, urban farming and things like that?
It's all different types of stuff. I think it's related to maybe Organic Valley. It's related to some sort of company, and they're talking about how young people can get involved in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be this Friday, and I'll post the announcement.
There'll probably be a hog slaughtering workshop there, actually.
No, if you want. No, probably not, actually.
You can look forward to
very
that. Probably
not. Approach to things?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So, and then we'll be wrapping up the season in December. We're thinking about bringing back another episode on peace and sustainability. So, just to tie things off before the holiday, the winter holiday season. So, anyway, so we have two guests with us today.
You've already heard
and
from
Becky.
One of them.
Yep. And
before she was introduced,
sorry.
Unbelievable.
I can't keep my mouth shut. So, hi, I'm Becca.
So, Becca is the pop department director for this radio station that you are listening to right now, and we're going to be kind of talking to her about how local bands and local music can be on the radio. How that goes. Also, we're going to be talking to Eitan from the band Murray Hill, about his experience and how being in a band and has helped his experience here in Binghamton, as well as how his bands kind of help the local economy. So,
let me start, that
was your cue to pontificate.
Okay, I am now going to pontificate about my experience as a band member here in Binghamton.
So, Eitan, first, let's start. When did you move to Binghamton?
I moved to Binghamton about 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here from Israel.
Yeah.
And I've pretty much been in a band for about 90% of that time, and it's all been fantastic.
You think it's it helped your social life, your experience of Binghamton, gotten you to get in to see new businesses and new venues?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you meet a lot of the other local bands, and you get to know a lot of the bars who kind of support the cause of promoting these local bands to drive a new business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important aspect in social life here, because a lot of students aren't always interested in going out and partying and dancing, all that. Some nights you just want to sit down, have a beer, and listen to a really good band play.
Right.
And there are a lot of local businesses who support that.
Do you feel like there's any sort of flavor to the local music or your band?
It's not far from where the times are right now. Soft rock, indie type music, melodic for the most part. You know, we don't get bands like Metallica around anymore. A lot of semi distortions, but good stuff. A lot of talented kids out there.
How did you meet the other guys in the band? Or girls? Because girls can play music.
That's true. Not as well, but they can
well,
play
yeah.
music.
Exactly.
No one can see this, but I'm punching him right now.
Oh, no. That actually did happen, so.
I call battery. The way I met my band was pure chance, really, because I was just playing guitar at home one night, and two kids I have never seen before walked in, and they're like, "You play guitar? That sounds pretty good. We need a guitar player. You want to be in a band?" And I was like, yeah. And it's been working ever since. It's been great.
Is Murray Hill the first band you started with? Or
Murray Hill is the first band. We've been a band for quite a while. Sadly, we lost our drummer and singer.
Oh,
for
wow.
graduation reasons. But we found an incredible new drummer and singer. And we actually have a show tonight at a Cafe Oasis with a couple of other bands. Mad Hatters will be there. And,
nice.
Shows should start around 10.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Sorry,
you're the guest.
Sorry.
You're the guest. Sure. I shouldn't be jumping in like that.
Sorry.
No.
Go for it.
Okay, I was going to say that you guys were part of the Battle of the Bands in the past, right?
And that's
a great way to get students involved and really kind of appeal to them and then drag them out to the downtown scene, right?
Absolutely. Binghamton's late nightlife supports local bands. And we did Battle of the Bands last year, and I mean, thanks to things like that, you know, when sometimes I say, "Oh, I'm in a band, it's called Murray Hill," people are like, "Oh yeah, I heard that name. I've seen you guys perform before." So it definitely helps, you know, bring people who are on campus, gives them the opportunity to see the bands and kind of know what's out there. And, you know, then they see the name of a band on a flyer playing it on the Rocks next week, and they're like, "Oh, let's go to that." So
it's a great stepping stone, and a lot of the late night concerts are free, so they'll hear the band first, and then if they like them, they can go pay for the show later off downtown, and
absolutely.
There's more for them down there anyways.
I mean, it's mutual both for the bands, the local bars and businesses, and the students, so it's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
That's three wins.
That's three wins.
Epic win.
I just counted that.
So
many wins.
And I know you played at the Israeli Independence Day, which actually attracts local community members onto campus. My synagogue was there in full force, and the Jewish Federation showed up for that. And so that was a family and community event that was pretty important.
We play a lot of the shows for Chabad. Mm-hmm. We're kind of their official kind of banned for all these things they do on campus and off campus. And it, you know, it allows us also to reach out certain communities that we wouldn't be able to usually reach.
Right.
So like the Independence Day and different Jewish holidays that bring in a different type of community that can also find an interest in the music. And again, it's just a cycle and drives them to, you know, "Oh, this is cool. I want to see this again. Where are you guys playing? What kind of stuff are you doing?"
So it sounds like it's a really good bridge between the university community and the greater community.
Absolutely, it's like I said, it's a cycle.
And hopefully we'll be hearing some of your music here on the radio. After your interview when you have to run off to class.
That's right.
But let's ask Becca about how bands like yours can be on the radio, like yours will be today.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't invited you on air before, because I did see your live show and I loved it. So would like to extend the invitation right now for the full band to be here. But it's really easy for any band that's interested in playing live on the radio to just contact us. You can shoot an email to me personally at pop@whrwfm.org, and I will do my best to work with your schedule and match you up with a pop DJ or a DJ that would play your style of music and play your music live on air. We have a whole concert series. We try to do this on Friday afternoons in particular, because that way a band can come in, play a small acoustic set, and maybe do a quick interview that won't tire them out or something. And then we walk them right over to the undergrounds, which is only a few feet away, and then they're able to play a much larger concert over there. So that way, you know, it's available to the larger student body, and they're able to get out to a much larger population. And then we're trying to work something out where we can play that live on air, or, you know, maybe at a later date. But we're trying to get as many bands as possible into the studio as often as possible, because it adds this variety and spice to the music, because otherwise we're just, you know, playing our favorite songs. And if you're listening to this on the radio on your drive home, you know, it can sound a lot like your iPod, which is not very original. We want to have the live music right here, and we want to bridge the gap, as like you said, of people really getting involved with their favorite bands.
And I want to tie this into kind of something that we often talk about on the show, which is a sense of place and a sense of community. Yeah.
Hands.
I mean, I think it's important that when we turn on the radio that we feel like we are where we are and that we're not just anywhere. I think people today are pretty lost out there. And,
yeah.
And just, you know, architecture is part of that. Music's part of that. Acting, local food, local restaurants, all of that is part of feeling like in a place where you can be.
Yeah, I think I have benefited from the Friday afternoon series that you guys have done, because I remember recently turning the radio on and hearing someone in the studio playing.
Was it last Friday afternoon? Because that was my show.
It wasn't. It was.
Oh, darn.
Actually, I don't know if you guys continue to see it, but it was. I think it was actually last spring. So I don't know what afternoon it would have been. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a high five.
That was a high five. It was an awesome high five. And we also, our folk director has something going on campus, the Go Folk Yourself series.
Mm.
So fun to say.
That is. I can say that.
And you can say it on the radio.
I can indeed. And he's got a lot of bluegrass bands, and he brings them, bands that he finds downtown, brings them on campus, and plays in they play in the Dickinson Amphitheater area. And, you know, we have that broadcast in. I'm not exactly too familiar with it. I really should not comment on it.
Hmm.
But it is wonderful, wonderful live music, and we're trying to get as much of it as possible on air because, like you said, it gets people to call in. And this is, you know, for anyone that's listening, this is a radio station that's open to students and community members right alike. We're trying to get you engaged. We want your feedback. So would this be a good time to put out the number, you know, call in?
It's fantastic, actually, that this show even exists. And I wish there was more promotion for shows like these. Because being a band member in this local scene, and this is the first time I'm hearing about it, kind of upsets me. But let me please
You're
accept
here
your invitation
yes
to come play one of your shows. I would love to do that.
How beautiful is this right now, ladies and gentlemen?
Fantastic.
Connection on air.
So, this is what we're here for.
So, in addition to live music, people can have their CDs played as well, right, Becca?
Yes, they can.
And they can even potentially make it into the record library.
You should give your email out again, because for anyone that's listening, this is a really good service. For like, if you're someone who makes music in the local scene, this is a great resource for you. Can you give your email again?
Yeah, sure. I'm the pop music director. My name is Becca, and you can send me an email at pop@whrwfm.org, and I will do my absolute best to get your music on the radio.
has there already been, I don't know, Eitan, you might know the answer to this, but has there ever been an attempt to do any sort of, like, music event where they have, like, kind of bands from the area, bands from the university kind of get together and do something like that?
You know, nothing has ever...
Like, maybe not that intentionally?
No, nothing has been
I think on the rocks. On the rocks, it often has a mix of bands.
They do have a mix of band, a lot of locals and university kids as well. It's not promoted as much as we would like.
Right.
You know, because we've been doing this for a few years now, and we've been a band for a few years, and we're friends with some of the other bands, so we'll get extended invitations through them.
Right.
So we're like not hearing about it through, like, proper channels like, oh, here's an opportunity, come and take it. We have to kind of all let each other know what's going on. Oh, you know, On the Rocks is doing this, or Cafe Oasis is doing that. Come play with us at this event, come play with us at that event, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, really knowing about it. Like, last year, Battle of the Bands was promoted really well.
Yeah.
And everybody knew about it, and there were a ton of bands, and I know a lot of bands weren't even able to play because there
were
so
them
many
applicables. Yeah, there was one that was hosted by Greek Life as well. And the thing about Battle of the Bands is it's a great way to get as many local bands in one area at once. We don't really have so many music festivals, per se. Like, Community Diversity Fest was a great environment. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of bands that played that time. But in terms of, like, an actual music festival, those in the area, like Monticello had All Tomorrow's Parties. And that's not, you know, focusing so much on the local up-and-coming bands.
Right. And a lot of our musical events happen here over the summer, which is when student bands are not necessarily around. But
photo time?
maybe now is the time to, as we all get photographed here. I want that MySpace angle on my shot.
Oh no.
MySpace. Is this 1994?
No.
Speaking of MySpace, is there a way that people can? Do you have a website for your band? Is there a way people can contact you if they want to book you?
That we're actually working on making a new one. We just canceled our old one because we have two new members.
Right.
So we figured we'll just build a new one, and it'll be available really soon.
And you'll give me the link, and I'll put it up on our Facebook.
Hadassah and Becca, here's something worth mentioning.
If you want to record an album, the radio station is equipped with a recording studio. So,
really?
Yeah, yes. Right, so next door, our control
think
room,
about
too.
That. The
definitely,
we don't
you should
know.
Come by the radio station because we can help out your
you,
band.
This is maybe we're not making this clear enough. You can pillage the radio station for all of its resources.
Yeah, it's really under.
It's one email or phone call.
It's
away.
Underutilized.
I was going to say, would now be the time to maybe open the floor a little bit to, like, you know, kind of imagining / complaining about what's deficient in the local music scene? Or, you know, maybe a more positive spin would be, like, how we can make it better, imagining where fill in some of the gaps.
Visioning.
Well, I'll tell you what I think is missing.
Okay.
And is a really big missed business opportunity. When you look at the local bar scene, they're 2-3 nights which people go out and occupy the bars, and there's always 2-3 nights a week where the bars are absolutely dead. You drive through State Street or all that area and you see nothing there. And I think there's a lack of communication between bands who want to play and bars who are willing to bring in the people because this is lost revenue. As far as you can see it. Because if I go to a bar owner and tell him, listen, I could get you 50, 60, 70 people in here, no problem, just through Facebook, let alone any promotion you do, that's money in your pocket on a dead night that's nothing going on, a Monday, a Wednesday, you know, sometimes Fridays. So I think if somebody can create a bridge between the bands, a better channel of communication and the bars, knowing that, you know, this is available, this brings in students, you
right.
know? It's not all about the kids who want to go out and drink and dance and all that
yeah.
three times a week. Three times a week, there are kids who want to go chill, have a beer, and listen to a great band. That exists.
Right.
And people, you know, especially nowadays, where, as you mentioned, iPods sound the same. They want to hear live stuff, new music, new sounds.
Absolutely.
So I think that would be a good way to
That's
promote, you know, a win-win.
And firstly, bars should not be scared about having bands over on the weekends. That's like, there are plenty of people that would rather go to that bar
Absolutely.
Were they hosting a live band. That would be like my deciding factor. And for whatever reason, these bands are always during the week, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm always hesitating as a student, should I really do this? If it was on the weekend, which I think it would be ideal for most musicians that would be commuting to the Binghamton area if they're on tour. Or
right.
if there are students that are worried about classes, weekends are perfect for concerts, and local bars or music venues should be a little bit more comfortable saying
yeah.
we would actually set aside a bit of our bar space for your sound system.
Yeah, I have to say, like I agree. Yeah. I mean, you go to any other college town, and there's gonna be a few bars at least that are gonna focus on live music.
Right. I would say Cyber Cafe is one that often has music.
Yeah,
that's true, but it doesn't appeal as much to students because of its location. So there's a great, you know, crowd
right.
that goes there, and it's full in a lot of a night and
right.
great bands.
And they often bring in out-of-town bands as well.
That's right, they do. Because they you know, they promote a lot of bigger type bands, not as much like local small bands like the student ones. I mean, I know we tried to play at Cyber Cafe West, and they're like,
we're
booked till next July.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not...
So it sounds like we need more venues.
Absolutely.
If people are if places are booked, it sounds like we need more places.
So, in order to keep students in the area and not moving away after graduation, maybe someone should think about opening up the next concert venue? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That
Maybe.
Well, might be.
Hadassah,
are you an, if you're an entrepreneur out there listening,
Hadassah, do you remember Touch of Texas?
Yes, that
Johnson
was then
City?
Music Magic City Music Hall,
which then became Magic City Music
and now
Hall.
Is a Red Cross office.
Wait,
yeah,
okay. So what happened with the Ice House?
I don't even know. I can't even track that.
That's now Club Voodoo.
Oh, yeah. And I went to a metal concert there once, and I was
so
scared.
And I live right by there, and I gotta tell you, it's not a pleasant neighborhood.
No, it's not.
So...
So there has to be something that's designated as a music venue that is close to State Street. Unfortunately, as it is, that is where the students know.
No, it's just, yeah, I mean, right at this point, too, the way that things are developing downtown, there's going to be more. There's going to be a push to get more students living down there. So it still makes sense to focus your energies in that area. Because
absolutely.
Whether you like it or not, that's where the students are going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, there's a huge push to renovate like abandoned office buildings into student housing. Yeah. I don't see why there shouldn't be a concert hall downstairs.
They're actually building a new university plaza downtown.
No, it is not the new university plaza because I live there right now. Nothing is going to replace it. It is. It is an office building, not the same.
It'll be interesting to see how downtown evolves.
We're all watching carefully. Actually, we're gonna be talking to Amelia LaDolce next week, possibly.
Yeah, certainly. And we'll be talking.
Who is he?
What's up?
No, Amelia. She's the sustainable development planner. We're gonna be talking about energy policy though, this time around.
But I was gonna say she is involved with the sustainable development department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she would be able to answer some of those questions.
So A10's going to have to run out to class.
Ruh-roh.
But
do I have this over here? Should I bring it on air?
Sure which one it is. Can I listen to it quickly?
Yeah.
So A10's going to set us up with some of his band's music.
In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that you're listening to 90.5 WHRW. This is Sustainable Binghamton Radio.
And we have our email is sustainable.binghamton@gmail.com. And if you are interested in being a guest on our show in the future, we are pretty well booked, at least for the next couple of weeks, but it's good to stay in touch. Also, we feature local music every week. This isn't an out of place, even though it's out of place considering we're doing energy this month. It isn't out of place with our motivations for the show. Our overall mission. And every week we do feature new local band on our show. Usually CD because we don't have so much time given. If we could have a live 10-minute concert every week, that would be great. But we don't have enough time. So how's the music coming up there? They figured out?
Just about, I think.
Well, while we're waiting...
Tell us a little bit about...
Tell us about the show again.
Well, yeah, let me plug the show tonight again. Starts at 10, Cafe Oasis. You know, there are going to be three great bands. We just want you to come out, have fun, have some drinks, you know, and rock and roll with us.
Does everyone know where Cafe Oasis is?
That's a good question. It's on...
They have a Facebook page.
They do. It's located on gorgeous Washington Street. You guys might know it as the Hookah Bar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a great little venue. Tons of people are going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
I think it was started by Binghamton alumni.
That's true. That's true. It's a local business.
They saw a niche, and they went for it. And I think it's been pretty successful.
Oh, it's been great. We've played there before. It's a great venue to play at. You know, mm-hmm. the... Bartenders are great. Waitresses are great. Place is cool. Hookers are delicious.
There is definitely, I think that's, you know, something that we've been kind of talking about a lot, as well as that there is entrepreneurial opportunities in this area. There may not be places hiring, but you may be able to create your own job.
Anyway, the song you're going to hear... you know, oddly enough, we were arguing about the name for so long, we decided to call it Song 2, because it's the second song we wrote as a band, and Song 2 by Murray Hill.